Hey, what's up? This is Becky South Podcast, and with me today we got Trey Tupou Self. Did I say that right, bro?
Yeah.
All right, too easy. The bro's actually from a real estate background. We're going to get to catch up with the bro and see what it's all about. All right, but first, roll our intro. My man, you all good?
Yeah, bro. That's actually the soundtrack I've got on my ringtone.
Actual.
Yeah, it's cracker.
See, mutual connection already, bro. Yeah, that's the buzz, eh?
Yeah.
No, you can't go wrong with AC/DC, eh?
Nah, man.
How's things been anyway, bro?
Yeah, it's been good, bro. As you said, doing a bit of real estate, make some deals happen. It's been a real learning curve, eh? Because when I first started, my parents had known of one kid other than me who had given real estate a crack.
Yeah.
And he'd only saw one thing for the whole year.
Wow.
So going into it, they're like, what the hell are you doing? And I've done pretty well compared to that. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just before we were talking about how long you've been in the industry for, you've just ticked over the 6 month mark into your seventh month mark now, man. How does that feel?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it feels pretty good, man. I can start writing contracts by myself, because with real estate you can't start writing paperwork and stuff like that until you've crossed over that 6 month mark. So now if I wanted to, I could solo list, but now I'm with the team over at Milford, so I have to co-list with him, Gavin Roberts.
Yeah, I remember the time that we caught up. I think it was going about a couple months back or something like that, eh, bro? And I remember that time, we spoke about some things, you know, with how your career is going and stuff like that, and where it's at now. But the reason why I kind of wanted to get you on today is because, you know, you are someone that is young, obviously, in the industry, and you've only actually been in it for, you know, as mentioned before, you know, 7 months. So you are really raw to it. But and within that 7 months, you know, bro, you sound like you've learned a hell of a lot, eh?
Yeah, no, hell of a lot. It's pretty funny because everyone, like, you don't grow up wanting to be a real estate agent or thinking that you're going to become a real estate agent. Like, it's not talked about at school at all. This is something we talk about. Everyone's got a story of how they ended up in real estate, like, fell into it. But been doing it for 7 months now, as you said. Made 7 sales, 4 listings, 3 sales through buyers. I talk to my mates all the time. Like, it's a pretty good job if you have those personable skills and you're willing to get out there, do the hard work, and be kind of self-motivated, because that's a lot of what it is just making those phone calls every day, doing that door knocking. And basically at the end of the day, it's just a numbers game. So the more people you meet, the more hands you shake, the more deals you make.
You just mentioned door knocking. I remember that one time after we caught up, I saw you actually, you know, going about the local, you know, neighborhood and community and stuff out at, it was Beachhaven, I think it was, Birkdale area, man. And obviously that's obviously one of your strategies that you use, obviously, to reach out to clientele and stuff like that. Do you find that a little bit nerve-wracking?
Yeah, it was a little bit to begin with. Just knocking on people's doors, and like, you'll get those reactions. Obviously, people would be like, oh, what the hell are you doing knocking on my door? Because you're obviously a stranger. But it is the best way to meet people, because you're running into people at their houses and you're talking to them about their house while they're in their house. Like, when you're cold calling, you can't, it's harder to talk to people and make that connection, because you don't have, like, the hand gestures and stuff to support it. And it's just the best way.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, and obviously, like as mentioned, that's just one strategy out of many that you're obviously going to be learning along the way of your journey as well, your career. Nah, cool. Bro, give us a bit of a background on who you are as a person, where you grew up, a little bit about your family as well, and also a little bit about, we can also talk about the schooling that you had as well.
Yeah, so I've grown up on the shore my whole life, but my mom grew up in like Forest Hill, and my dad's from Otara, so it's quite a bit of a like mix of cultures coming together. Not just because he's Samoan, my mom's white, but because like they came from like South Auckland, North Shore.
I never knew that about your dad, man.
Didn't you? That he came from Otara.
Nah, shout out to Ben, man.
Yeah, made it out the hood.
Yeah, he did, bro.
It's really funny because when I was working in like Brookdale, Beachhaven, like I'd go over to my family in Otara, because I still got a lot of family there, and I say to them, oh, I'm working at a beach haven and stuff like that. They're like, oh, that's the Otara of the shore, eh? And I'm like, kind of, you can put it that way. But no, I loved working in Birkdale Beach Haven. But yeah, back to where I came from, I grew up doing a bit of rugby, went to West End Boys, which is obviously strong rugby school.
Say that again.
Yeah, compared to Raza, right? Nah, fair play.
Yeah.
Done some boxing because my dad had 52 fights when he was young. I think he only had 2 losses in his career. So yeah, he's pretty good. The whole time I was doing boxing, all my coaches and stuff like that remembered him from when he was young.
Wow.
Yeah, like John McCarthy, because he's been in the industry for 50 years now. He's like 70 years old now. But he falls asleep halfway through training most of the time. But my dad just basically brought me up doing pads when I was like 5 years old. And then when I got to intermediate age, his old coach, John McKay, as I said, he was talking to him one day, and then my dad was like, oh, if you want to like transfer their skills into the actual ring, you should go along and check it out. So I did. And from there, went pretty well. I lost my first like 2.
Yeah.
Which is like the same thing with real estate. You only really know how much you love something when you take a loss. It either stops you from pursuing it because you're like, nah, this ain't worth it. Or it makes you hungrier to get those wins.
Yeah, yeah. You want it more, eh, man?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So after that, after losing my 2 first fights, I went on to win my 3rd. And then I went to my first nationals at my 8th fight. So it was quite a quick turnaround.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I just started training with Super City, who were the best boys on the in Auckland, who were over the bridge in like Mangere, like Manukau. They taught me a hell of a lot in that short amount of time. Won the Golden Gloves actually in my 5th fight.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really quick turnaround. And I went to my first nationals on my 8th fight. Then I won those nationals after 3 fights. Like I had 3 fights back to back, night after night. And then went to my 2nd nationals. I think that was in my 15th fight. And then I won that one as well. So yeah, won 2 nationals. Ended up breaking my back in the end when I was like 18 years old. So
I remember you explain to the listeners, bro, like how you broke your back, because it was almost like I remember when you told me, you know, how you broke it. I was kind of just like, you can really break your back doing that.
I think it was a multitude of things, because I just say that it was because I was running Kennedy Park Stairs, and it's basically overtraining because it was a stress fracture. And running Kennedy Park Stairs, I was trying to like better my time, like running up and running down like 10 of them one after another. Then I got down to like 12 minutes.
Wow.
For like 10. Yes. It was getting pretty fast, but
Kennedy Park Stairs, they gruesome.
Kennedy Park
Stairs
is a killer.
Yeah.
Anyone that's done it just knows like what we're talking about. Yeah. And just doing the morning runs and just other stuff, ended up stress fracture, torn ligament, and fractured pop disc all at once. So at first it was just like a bit of nerve pain, but I just kept training on it, and then it got even worse and worse. And after like 3 weeks, I just had to go get an MRI scan. They said, oh yeah, you probably year and a half out. So
wow.
Yeah, so
jeez.
Came back after a year and a half, had 1 fight, went terrible. And I was just like, because it just wasn't the same, man. Because ring rust, and also just like I didn't have as much mobility.
Yeah.
And that's another case where if I'd actually loved it, I would have like rehabilitated. But at the end of the day, I think after that year and a half, I'd got my mind set on other things. And it just wasn't, I just didn't love it anymore.
Do you miss it still?
A little bit. When I go back with the boys, sometimes I got a lot of mates that train down the road at Shuriken.
Yeah.
And I've gone there and trained a couple times. And when I've gone there, I've felt that bug again to fight. But it's like dangerous because you don't want to, I don't want to, it's too much.
I remember Mike Tyson saying that, bro. You know, he would say he never wanted to go back to fighting because it just made him, I think, love himself a little bit too much. Do you know what I mean? It was his ego that got in the way. But, it's a little bit like at your feet, bro.
It is a little bit like that. Yeah. Like, I see some of the other boys and they're like mean fighters and stuff like that. But then in the back of your head, it's like, I could get up to that like level and like get back in the ring and win some fights myself again. But it's just not really, like, there's no point in it. I don't see a career in it. Like, I just want to,
Well, what's it like, honestly, you know, your street fights? Like,
I haven't had any streets fight.
Oh man, they're a little bit different. Honestly, neither have I.
Yeah,
but I feel like they're a little bit different to the ring. Mm. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah, it's like more MMA style. Like anything could happen. That's something that Israel Adesanya was talking about the other day. They were calling, I can't remember who it was, but they were saying that there was a boxer that was pound for pound. Canelo.
Yeah,
then Adesanya was saying it didn't really sit right with him because who's going to break up a street fight?
Street fight.
In boxing, obviously, you end up hugging. Yeah. They'll break you up. But in MMA, it's just brutal. Like, if you get in a clinch, you're not safe.
You're going to get
taken to the ground and then tapped out, you know? Which is fair enough, obviously. Well,
it's part of the game.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, I mean, like, Israel Adesanya's comment is definitely fair enough because I think at the end of the day, MMA is the realest form of fighting, like the closest thing you can get to a street fight.
Yeah. Very true. Very true, actually. And I mean, the reason why I was about to say is because, you know, like, what's it like getting punched in the face, you know, 1,000 times, bro?
Most fighters will...
You got the boxing face, bro. You know what I mean? You got a boxing face, bro.
It was too big of a target, I reckon. No. What was I going to say? I think most fighters will tell you, like, you don't feel the punches while you're in there. There's too much adrenaline.
Yeah,
like,
the rush, bro.
Yeah. Even when people break stuff in the ring, like, they don't feel it because it's just... You've got the fans there and it's just you've been nervous like leading up to it. And when you, like, that's peak adrenaline like in the fight. So you don't really feel it just feels like you got blow to your, it doesn't, you can't really, it's not painful.
Yeah.
At all. Like,
until you get knocked the fuck.
Yeah. But even then, I'm pretty sure you just feel sleepy.
True. Yeah. You probably wake up with a sore head after.
Oh, when you do get some hard hits, you see stars. For a little bit.
Right. What do you kind of do to kind of, you know, like when you see those stars?
Yeah.
Like, what does a boxer do? I mean, obviously, you know, there's the tactic of, you know, trying to hug their opponent.
That's all it is, man.
Right.
Like, that's what you're told from day one.
Right.
If you see stars and you start to wobble a little bit, like, you have to wind up the other dude, make sure there's no chance of him, like, finishing you off, basically.
Yeah.
Because when you're basically helpless in that kind of situation where you're stumbling all over the place.
Yeah, I remember one of the most recent is UFC I'm talking about here, fights. Do you know Bam Bam Tuivasa?
Yeah.
He just had his fight against, I forgot, ex-NFL player, I'm pretty sure. And Bam Bam was on the end, like, he was on his toes, bro. Like, he got knocked and I thought he was about to go down to the ground and he didn't care about wrapping up or anything. Like, he just went in for one big hit, bro. Yeah. And it landed. It was a lucky hit, bro. And he probably wouldn't say it's lucky. He probably said,
I meant that.
Yeah. But yeah, man, that's a little bit about your boxing career as well, man. I mean, did you go after the stress fracture and stuff like that, man? What did you get up to after that?
Basically, I went off the rails a little bit, because I had never drunk until that point in my life, just training, like, full stop. And my sister still hasn't drunk because she's, like, good athlete as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Top athlete. But
we'll talk about that soon.
So up until that point, I had never drunk or anything like that. So when I had nothing to do and, like, I couldn't do any sports, the only thing I could do was schoolwork, like, to take my mind off. Like, I'd just go and, like, drink with the boys and stuff like that. Obviously, like, a lot of boys, like, guys do and stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with it. But, that's basically all I did, was just schoolwork and just hang out and stuff like that.
Yeah. How old were you when the stress fracture happened again?
18.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was coming to the end of your, I mean, you finished school at that point?
It was my last year of school. So it kind of sucked because that year, it happened at the start of the year. And that year I was named head of Stanley. Anyone that knows Westlake will know head of Stanley House. I was named head of Stanley House, and some other stuff. But yeah, especially that, I couldn't do cross country athletics, like any of the stuff that you're supposed to do as the head of a house, because you're supposed to lead by example.
Right.
And it kind of sucked for me because I was just like, man, I wish I could, like, show these guys that we need to get our house, like, up to the top and help them out and stuff like that. But I had a bad mentality that year. Right? Just kind of sucked.
Just muck around.
Yeah, just mucked around and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, you got to go through something, man. Something. Hey, they say you learn from your mistakes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I remember, like, going back on what you said before, you know, when you lost your first two fights and, you know, it makes you want it more. I remember the year I played rugby, man. And I think I was young. I was like only, I wouldn't be surprised if we were in the same team at that time.
Because we were in the same team for rugby and
a little while.
We were in basketball,
and basketball as well, I think.
Yeah, but just, then you were like the top team. Nah.
We won't talk about it. Right. I don't play it anymore, bro. What's good? Yeah, and I remember 1 year, man. Like, man, our team was getting pumped like every single game.
Really?
My old man brings it up quite a bit. And he says, like, you know, son, I remember one time when you came up to me and you said, I hate losing. Mm. You know, and I said that to my dad, and I think this was like a Josiah back when he was like maybe 9, 10, maybe 11. I don't know, somewhere around there. And like when I say we were getting pumped, like I meant like we were losing games like 98-0.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah, it was like, I remember that.
You must have been a different team.
Oh man! Oh, honestly, bro, and like, oh, it was just so frustrating, eh? And like, if 11-year-old is saying that to, you know, an adult.
Yeah, was this like, Tekka?
This was at Tekka, bro. Yeah.
Bro, who like, were getting pumped? I can't remember.
Oh, man. This was the 1 year that I played in this team. And I can't remember what Jay it was. You know, I think the way they say the teams today is a little bit different. I don't think they go by J. Oh, maybe they do. But yeah, it was like J4 or something. Oh, maybe J5. I don't know. Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And bro, yeah, we were getting pumped.
So this is way back.
Way back. Yeah. And like ever since then, they like, I reckon like that was... It's why I'm so competitive today.
I hate losing, man.
Even today, man. Like when I lose a game, I hate it. But it's like I'm able to put the game to rest straight away and move on. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But yeah, it was just funny that you brought that up because it's so true. You know, it's so true that you know that's the type of mentality that you get from loss.
Mm.
And you got to move on.
That competitive nature is like perfect for real estate as well,
right?
Because I went and had an interview with. One dude at Ray White when I first started, and I told him, well, I had on my CV like my boxing and rugby background and stuff like that, and he was just like, oh, fighter. Like he knew that we were used to getting woken up at like early in the morning and like train hard and stuff like that, holding self accountable and that competitive nature. But yeah, he knew that he was just like, oh, you're gonna do real well in real estate and stuff like that. But yeah, I think you'd be perfect for real estate as well.
My guy. Actually, funny you say that.
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah, I am doing a bit of, you know, real estate on the side and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. That was my old man. He was calling. I'm letting him know. I'm in the middle of an interview. Interviewing. Trey.
Oh, good, my guy. Family first.
Yeah, bro, he's always on the phone to your dad though, eh?
Yeah, man.
It's crack up, eh? Because when your old man calls my dad, G, the first thing I hear is it's like real loud. It's like, I know straight away it's your old man now. It's like, oh yeah, that must be Ben.
Yeah,
having a yarn and stuff. But as we were saying, bro, yeah, like I'm doing a little bit of real estate, you know, papers on the side. It's good to upskill in different areas, man, and you know, definitely see where it takes me and stuff. But you know, again, and probably another reason why it's good to have you on the podcast, because then obviously you can give some advice to not just myself but other people that are probably thinking about real estate or even those that are in the scene as well, man. So yeah, man, I did mention before, talk a little bit about, you know, you brought up your sister as well. I mean, man, she is an athlete, you know, as well, and she just got a scholarship, didn't she?
Like most got a full scholarship to Washington University.
Wow.
So she's off in September. Awesome. Pretty soon, actually. So she's 4-year scholarship. Getting trained by some of the top coaches in the world. Going to be competing against the top athletes in the world.
Yep.
But yeah, more interesting is actually, you know, Valerie Adams, how she went to the Olympics recently.
Yes,
they competed. I don't know, like 2 days ago.
Two days ago. Yeah, she won a bronze.
Yeah, and the other girl, Maddie.
I didn't. Oh, the other
woman. Shotboarder from New Zealand. NZ, yeah, she came sixth. And she's 22 years old, like killing it as well.
Wow.
But she actually trains with my sister, with the same coach, and it's just them two.
Maddie.
Yeah. Wow. And so she came sixth at the Olympics at like, what, 22. She'd probably go to the next one and anything could happen. Like she'd probably do even better. Yeah. But yeah, I think my sister's headed in the same direction, so she'll be probably at the next Olympics at 22 years old.
Man, that's wicked, eh?
Yeah.
That's been a dream from the start.
Yeah, for sure. Well, her first dream, it's funny because she started off wanting to be a heptathlete and go to the Olympics as a heptathlete.
Heptathletes, when they do like 10 different sports,
seven.
Right? Oh, seven different
sports. Yeah. She was sprinting, shot put, all that kind of stuff. Javon, but she broke her back as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
No way.
Stress fracture.
What?
Yeah.
There's a gene in your family, bro.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, the more people you talk to, the more people you realize have had that happen to them as well. Like, it's not an uncommon thing with athletes.
Yeah.
Like, because I've had, I think.
Touching wood right now, bro.
Yeah.
I don't want that, bro.
Since I did it, I had like seven people reach out to me.
What?
And say, oh, like, how have you managed to get better and stuff like this? Because I've just had this done to me recently, or I'm getting pain back in my back, and you seem to be like handling it well.
Yeah.
Basically just like relating our stories and just making sure that we both get through it. Cause it's, cause it's like a year and a half out can cause, as I was saying, of doing anything like physical. We were talking about my
talking about your sister. We're talking about how she just got a stress fracture.
Oh yeah. So she did that. And then after that, she realized that doing seven different things is not very good for
that stress fracture.
Hailing it back, like hurting it from every angle.
Yeah.
So she stuck to the things that she was good at, like discus and shot put.
Mm.
And now she's killing that. And so her goal kind of transferred from doing heptathlon to going to the Olympics for shot put and discus.
How often is she training for shot put? And discus, did you say?
Yeah.
So how often is she doing her trainings and stuff?
I think she's training every day of the week.
Mm.
But she's doing specific shot put and discus throwing, I think, four times a week.
Okay.
But the other times are like weightlifting.
Yeah.
Not aerobics, but the other one, Pilates, I think.
Was it? The one for the core?
Yeah, core and stuff like
that. Pilates,
Yeah. So, because that's like obviously important as well for throwing, because it's all coming from the base.
Yes.
Just like boxing.
Yes. Yeah. Man, Pilates is one freaking hard thing, bro. I hate it. Honestly, big ups to anyone that does Pilates, man, because that thing is, oh man, it's a tough freaking thing, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't done it myself, but like, have you done it quite a bit?
Bro, I've done it once, bro. Never gone back. Never gone back, bro. As soon as I did it once, bro, yeah, that was it. Okay, painful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bro, it was, it's tough, bro. Like, it's just so much core work, man, and obviously, like, it's just the awkward movements that they do that you don't often do. And so when you go to it the first time, it's like, holy cow, what did I get myself into, bro? Like, you're in a war sometimes.
Yeah.
Some people probably be saying, man, you're overthinking it, you know?
But you don't really think about it because it's like real static positions.
Yeah.
But at the same, it's just really, as you said, bending yourself out of uncomfortable positions.
That's it, man. That's it. Yeah. Well, man, so she's over heading over to obviously Washington.
Yeah.
Over on a four year scholarship, everything paid for
Everything paid for. And she also gets allowance. She stays in like a dorm room. Like, they're staying in like an academy type situation where they're eating with the athletes like every day and training alongside them and stuff like that. So yeah,
man, that's almost like a luxury, but you got to work.
Yeah. She's got to make sure that like
she
comes through with the results, basically. Because otherwise, obviously,
that's right.
University is going to be looking like, what happened?
Any family trips planned then to head over and see her in the next couple of years?
Yeah,
then?
Probably start of next year. Okay. But the crazy thing as well, she's starting like biochemical engineering on the same time. So she's going to be, she's just like real brainy. I think she got like junior ducks at Westside Girls.
Wow.
And she was head girl actually of Westside Girls last year.
Good on her.
Yeah, so she's killing it in like smarts and sports. It's crazy. Yeah.
Man, when you can get two and two together, man, that's, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say unbeatable, but. Man, you're talented.
Yeah.
Nah, good on you. Man, so a little bit about your family, obviously, and stuff like that. You know, let's talk about what you got into, I guess, after high school and all that stuff. What did you end up doing, man?
Yeah, so I went and studied a Bachelor of Communications, majored in journalism, and then got into the radio scene with Magic Talk and News Talk ZB, working alongside like Mike Hosking and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that dude.
Had you fun?
It was good. I didn't really talk that much to him, but you know, he's just a very much he has to, you understand, like, he has to be centered on himself, kind of thing.
Okay.
Because, yeah, he won't really go and say hi, like, hi to people and stuff yeah. like that. But yeah. just because, except for his co-hosts and stuff like that.
Mm.
But basically, he just needs to, because you, when you're at that level in anything, you don't really have enough time for everyone, right?
Mm.
Like, you can't really help out everyone. Mm. So you just need to focus on what you got to do. Mm. And I think you'll find that with, like, top athletes as well.
Yeah, okay.
Like, they, yeah, well, I don't know. But, what was it? Yeah, so I was working for radio, and then I wasn't really enjoying it that much, because you know, like, when you go into a job that you'll have to do jobs that other people don't want to do
yeah, yeah.
when you begin with, like, you become a laborer as a tradie,
mm.
stuff like that, and other jobs. But yeah, I was riding on stuff like equestrian, like horse, like horse racing and stuff like that. Like, stuff I'd never...
Bro, you know what's so funny? I've got to show you this, actually. Carry on, though. Carry on about the...
yeah, like, yeah, so I was riding on, like, horse racing and, like, car drive, like, this, was it car races and stuff
yeah.
like that,
yeah.
that I never really paid much attention to,
yeah.
and I didn't really have a passion for. So at the end of the day, I was just, like, getting annoyed bored. By it, but also yeah. bored.
Yeah,
like, I don't. This isn't really what I want to do after all. And mm. so COVID hit, and then they kind of cut my hours back a bit as well, just because I was, like, one of the last one in, so and one of the youngest. Mm. So I was like, well, if I'm going to get my hours cut back and I'm not really enjoying it, then why am I even doing it?
Yeah.
And so then I just started looking into other avenues, and luckily I had that dude that I'm working for now as a family friend,
mm.
and he was like, oh, you should give real estate a look, because obviously it's communication based as well. And he knew my sporting background, and that competitive nature is what's needed for real estate. To succeed and stuff like that. So yeah, I looked into it, looked around a few places. I think I interviewed with, like, four different branches,
yeah,
and then found the one in the end, like the one at Beach Haven, Barfoot.
Barfoot and Thompson.
Yeah, 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 Barfoot and Thompson. Shout out to them. But I, like, one of the major reasons was just before you go into real estate, or I think it's any job, like, they'll test you out a little bit.
Okay.
So they tested me out, and I did a bit of door knocking in the area and stuff like that. And I, like, as you know, because you live there, like, mm. Birkdale Beach Haven is, like, a really nice community. Mm. Like, in terms of the people, like, it's a real close community. Yeah. And I didn't have, like, anyone telling me to, like, basically piss off and stuff like that. Yeah. And had, like, really good chats with them, even though they weren't planning to sell the house anytime soon. So at the end of the day, I was just like, yeah, this is a place I could see myself working in and awesome. Getting along with people and making a name for myself. So I ended up started working there. And also, I love the people at the branch. Like, mm. that's why it was such a hard decision to leave.
Yeah.
Especially
mm.
because I got nothing against them. It's just there's so much to learn at this stage.
Yeah.
And I'd rather go and learn from someone that has a vested interest in me getting better, obviously, because I have to help his team.
Mm.
Rather than working and learning from people that see me as competition.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like the people at the branch, they're solo agents. I'm a solo agent.
Right, so you're trying to compete for
yeah, clients. So yeah. basically, like, I'll get them to help me on the listing to get it. But at the end of the day, they still see me as competition. So down the road, like, they're not going to help me as much to get to that next level or yeah. above them. Like, because at the end of the day, like, they've got kids. Mm. Like, Like, if I take a listing from them, that's taking, like, money away from them and their family yeah, and their children, right. what they could do. Like, so they're not going to help me as much as...
Yeah, yeah.
But when working with this dude in Milford, I'm helping him because he takes a half cut, but I'm helping him and his family and stuff like that. And yeah, so he's going to want me to get even more business for him. So he's going to put more of his, like... Because we have
time and energy, right?
Yeah, basically. Like, we have a meeting every morning at 7:30.
Mm.
And we just go over, like, the plan for the day, like, how we're going to get the most business possible.
Mm.
He shouts everyone, like, breakfast and wow. teas and coffees and stuff like that, whatever we want.
Wow.
We go out, like, on a trip to somewhere pretty regularly,
yeah.
like, as a team, just to, like, for team bonding and stuff yeah, like that. Because obviously if you're running a team, you don't want turnover.
Mm.
So, like, you'll dedicate yourself to making sure that everyone's happy, but also everyone's doing the best job possible.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, that makes sense. I just want to quickly go back to that equestrian part. That
you
said. I got to show you this. I got to show you this. This is cracker.
This is Prancing.
This is equestrian.
By the way, look at that horse.
Oh, the horse crip walking, cuz. You see that? Oh, that's sick. That's gangsters of
hey.
Oh, cuz. Oh, look at this, cuz.
Oh, cuz.
course is off the chain. I gotta get this motherfucker in the video. Oh my god.
Snoop said I gotta put the horse in the video. Yeah.
Motherfucker's off the chain.
Man, maybe. It's maybe, yeah. Maybe if I was working there, then I would have enjoyed it more. But.
that's crack up though. Yeah, it's just funny that you brought that up because you just saw that today. Yeah, I was just like, I could have stopped laughing, bro. Good old Snoop.
He's crack and Kevin Hart. Crack up.
Oh man,
killer combination.
Killer combination, bro. That's a 1-2 punch right there, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, so we were talking about. Obviously, you've been in the industry for 7 months, and a lot has changed. You were at obviously Barford and Thompson.
Yeah.
You said obviously it was a bit of a difficult decision for you to move on and stuff. But it's definitely the right decision, right?
Yeah. No. Definitely. Mm. Yeah.
And obviously, you're moving into, like you said, a team environment.
Mm.
What's the difference? There's a lot, and obviously there's some. It's easier to point out obviously what differences there are, but what are some really key differences that will help you obviously in your career,
and then the benefits of moving to a team.
So
if I was down the road a little bit, I'm definitely planning to go out as a solo agent, but to begin with, like as I was saying, I need those lessons from someone that's been in the industry for 15 years. Like that's just something you can't pay for at the end of the day, like to learn from someone that has that much experience, that much success, number 4 in the country he's heading to number 4 for the country, like out of Harcourts nationwide. That's basically like where I want to end up. So to be under the tutelage of someone like that, and then eventually, like, there's a pathway there for me to learn from, get in business, but at the end of the day, like, work the way up and then become his position and then become number 1, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, down the road, I'm definitely, once I've learned my lessons and stuff like that and I feel comfortable enough to go on my own, I'll do that and try and become number 1.
How do you feel, because you mentioned that you were 22 years old.
Mm.
How do you feel about, going into an industry that is, it's an industry where you don't, I'm going to say you don't necessarily see young people, in the industry. And I guess for multiple reasons. So how do you feel being young in the industry?
Yeah, you definitely, it's pretty interesting because a lot of people will ask you like, how long have you been in the business? And that's also one thing that being in a team helps with, because the dude that I'm working for is like 50 years old.
Oh, okay.
So we've got a card, like a business card, and it has all four of our faces on it. Right. So when I'm door knocking and stuff like that, meeting people and stuff like that, I'll just say, oh, I'm with Team Roberts. And it kind of takes the pressure off being young.
Yeah.
And so while I'm building my reputation, building like the client list, building the track record of houses that I'm selling, it's good to be under him. And then once I go out on my own, I'll still be like relatively young, but I'll have all that backing behind me and success. But going out on your own, like to begin with, and not having any success and being 22 years old, like that's why, like whenever I shave, like I try to keep it like relative bare, like bit of hair on the face, because
bit of bum fluff.
Well, that'll be like it. Like as soon as I shave, like it looks young as, and then people like, I get way more people asking me that question, like, how old are you? Yeah. Like, how long have you been in the business? Like, there's no way we're selling a house. Like, it's basically what they're saying.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel it from that, feel that vibe.
You just know it, eh?
Yeah. They just say, like, I'm never, like, because at the end of the day, it's their biggest asset that they've been living in most cases, for 10 years.
Mm.
So why would they trust someone that doesn't have a track record, is that young, and when they could go after like one of the, obviously someone like the dude that I'm working for, like Gavin Roberts, he's been in the game for 15 years, has established a great name for himself and stuff like that. So
So you would say that that is obviously probably one of the what is it?
Benefits?
No. One of the nerve wracking moments, obviously, like being young in the industry and stuff. Yeah, it's just like having people not trust.
You just got to try not to project that onto them.
Yeah,
you got to try and like hold yourself as in like, I'm like, mature. I'm like a great agent already. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you got to fake it till you make it, basically.
Yeah.
You got to put on the persona that I've been in the industry for ages. When they ask you how long you've been in the industry for, you just be like, oh man, it feels like I've been in it for 10 years now.
Yeah,
like just kind of deflect.
Yeah,
and then just say, oh, how long, and then talk about them. Like, people love to talk about themselves, and that's like all it is at the end of the day, is just like building a connection with them and making them feel like they're not just another number. Like, a lot of that's one of the things why a lot of people will trust agents that are newer to the industry, because we have the time and dedication to go out of our way to make them feel special. People that are doing a ton of business, they, like, we've come across it, like, in appraisal and stuff like that. They're just like, oh, yeah, we met with them because, like, why wouldn't you? But at the end of the day, like, they didn't ask us about ourselves. They just told us how much our property was worth and that they've got buyers. Like, yeah, at the end of the day, it's like a, you got to build that personal trust.
Yeah, that relationship.
Yeah, that relationship. With someone. Yeah, exactly.
When you do go door knocking, or you know, when you reach, you know, out to someone via phone, email, whatever it is, the way you do it, you know, however you go about your promotional side of things, you know, when you get to meet, you know, your potential, you know, what is it, your potential clientele?
Yeah, whatever it is.
How do you, what would you call them?
Like, just call them, potential clientele.
Something like that. What's your, like, go-to initial, you know, hey, my name's Trey type of thing, you know, right? Obviously, you know, like, so how do you go about it?
Yeah, so there's, like, a number of different scripts that you can use. A lot of the time it's going around recent sales and telling them, oh, this one just sold for this. Would you like to get an appraisal on your own? Because a lot of real estate is unpaid work. Like, people think about real estate and, oh, man, you can make it. Like, every time I tell someone that I do real estate, they're just like, oh, man, you'll be making heaps of money. But, like, if you look at the averages, a lot of people are making a ton of money. It's only the top agents that work hard at it. And, yeah, but, yeah, so you just go around telling people about recent sales, become the agent that they know that owns the area. So when they do go to sell, or if they're thinking about selling, they know you as the person with the knowledge. So you may look young, but they know, but they think of you as, like, knowledgeable at the same time. So you say, oh, like, hi, my name's Trey, how you going? And they go, good, or, like, terrible. And just leave those ones alone. But you just go, good. And then you say, oh, I was just going by real quick. So this is what you can do it with Harcourts or Barfoot, if, even if it's not your sale. If it's sold by your company, you just go, oh yeah, we just sold the one down the road from you for X amount. And then you just say, and they go, oh wow, yada yada yada. And then you say, oh, would you like to find out what your property might sell for in this current market?
Okay.
And then they go yes or no. Like, 99% of the time you're gonna know. What's that 1% of the time you gotta work for? Obviously. That's man, you gotta knock so many houses, because out of the 7 sales that I've had so far,
how many homes have you knocked on?
Like, thousands, man. Like, every day. Like, I door knock every day from at least from 3 to 5:30, but usually earlier. Like, I'll go from 12 or 1 or 2.
Wow.
Like, to man, it's just grind. Like, you, like, even with the ones that you do get a lead on, there's like a, you got to match the perfect balance between patience and persistence. Like, you don't want to come across as pushy, like, sell your house now, but you don't want to let them get onto thinking or meeting too many other agents, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to stay on them and just, like, tell them about other stuff they're selling in the area, like, keep them up to date, and then eventually they'll sell with you.
What do you think so many people don't, you know, think about the real estate industry career? Do you think it's because of the long hours? Like you said before, you know, you have a meeting at 7:30 in the morning, you're not finishing until 5:30. That's a long day.
What do you think,
you know, I mean, there are a lot of people out there who are, you know, real estate agents, sales people, but for those that, that don't, have looked at the industry but like, nah,
you know,
it's too much.
It's just, I just never even heard of a real estate, well, I mean, because obviously, you know, houses are selling, but I never even thought about real estate until I found out that my family friend was doing it, and I hated my current job. But yeah, growing up, teachers don't talk about it. It's just usually the, like, normal jobs that people talk about. Like, even that drop shipping and stuff like that. No one really talks about that. Like, it's, I know some people are making some money out of it, I think. But yeah, like, sales, like, people will talk about, like, retail jobs, retail selling, where you're working for someone else and there's no commission based. Like,
you're just on a regular
salary. People like, are like, he works at the warehouse or works at, but no one ever talks about real estate. I honestly have no idea. There's a big stigma around real estate agents and stuff like that. Like, obviously, people think that they're greedy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of money to be made from it. So they're just like, oh, you're not really worth it. Like, yeah, it's at the end of the day, like, people have a stigma against the corporate world in general, I think.
Yeah.
I was talking to a chick the other day, and she was like saying, like, yeah, I can never do that because, like, you're part of the corporate world. And I was like, I mean, what does that mean?
In other words, you're a capitalist.
That's what
she's saying.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
If you're for it, you're for it. If you're against it, you're against it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't really.
Well, at the end of the day, you're working. Like, that's your job, you know. If you're not getting the commission, if you're not making money, bro, like you mentioned before, you know, people who do have families to feed.
Yeah, exactly.
They won't have.
There's a lot of people in a lot of positions that can't do it. Because unless you already know a lot of people and you're in a position in your life that you can, like, you, I feel like you either start it young or you have kids and then you wait until they're, like, old enough to where they don't rely on you as much. And, like, you need to be in a good enough financial position. That's what they say. You need to have 6 months of economic backing. Just because even when you're at the top of the game, it's crazy. Like, I was talking to my team leader, and he said that he's known dudes to go to be at the top of the game and then go 7 months without getting one listing.
Damn.
So, like, yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, that's just what can happen. Like, you need to be, you need to save. Like, you can't go out and, like, spend your money recklessly or anything like that. Even when you, because when you get a $20,000 commission coming in the at the end of the month, like, obviously, you'd be pretty easy, especially when those big agents that are getting like $100,000 at the end of each month. Like, it'd be pretty easy to just go, oh yeah, let's buy it. Yeah, let's go. Just like the rappers and all those guys.
But you got to be smart about it, bro. Like, you know, like, if it's one, like, you probably know, but like, you should probably go buy some freaking assets with that money. You know what I mean? Money that will, you know, generate you some, you know, some money, you know, without you having really to do much. You know, I mean, if I was making that much money a month, man, I would be doing something similar to that.
Yeah,
you know, it's like definitely buying some assets that can generate me some, you know, another income, you know, another stream of, you know, income. Like, that's probably what I'll do anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, that food for thought, I don't know.
Yeah, no, diversify and stuff. It's always good to diversify. You always see those, like, posts on Instagram, stuff like that.
Yeah,
I haven't really looked into it that much, but it's definitely a good idea because, especially in this industry, as I said, because 7 months without a paycheck, like, that's...
Yeah,
I don't know,
that's a long time,
that's
bro.
That's insane, bro.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question, bro. You know, technically, you know, when I see, you know, real estate agents or salespeople and stuff, you know, I look at them as the middleman.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Like, technically, you guys are, because you guys are obviously selling the house for someone else. Do you ever see real estate agents, you know, being thrown out the door?
Yeah, that's one thing that I think about. Like, sometimes it just crossed my mind, definitely.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, like, people, I mean, if people want to sell their own homes, it's like, cool. But like, you'd have to run the open homes, do all the marketing yourself. Like, we have, like, my team leader has like a database of thousands of people already, like, stored, like, ready to either buy or sell like at some stage. But like, so when we sell a house, like, we'll just contact them, and we also have like thousands of other like contacts within the business that we can draw to their house. So at the end of the day, like, that commission that we're charging them will get them that and some, just because of how many buyers we're getting through their property.
Okay.
And it's like proven by like stats and stuff like that.
So when you're saying buyers, you have a list of people that are ready to, you know, get a phone call from you guys and say, hey, this property's up for sale, this is listed, you guys are gonna go send them through and stuff, and, you know, because obviously they're said they're interested in obviously buying.
Yeah, 100%. Like, they've told us their specifications and stuff like that.
Right.
And like, as soon as we see
specification, as in like
what they want,
four bedrooms, yeah, whatever. Like, yeah.
What area they want to go in.
Uh-huh.
So as soon as they, like, as soon as we have a listing come up that's of interest to them, like, we've got we've also got 11 off market listings right now.
Okay.
So that's like ones that aren't
listed. Yeah.
Because a lot of people prefer that way. Like, people that don't want it to be, like, some people don't want to be seen as like as their house being like unattractive or whatever.
So
they like want to sell
it looks ugly.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Like,
no. What I mean is, like, if it goes to auction, it doesn't sell.
Oh, gotcha.
They feel like a bit embarrassed.
Embarrassed.
But off market, obviously, like, and we can make that happen. We can get them a great price, like off market, because we've got so many buyers, and we bring them all there, like show them, show 10 through at a time, like just purely based on our context. So they don't have to like put it on Trade Me or anything like that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's definitely best going to auction or something, because that's the other thing. Like, who's going to run the auction for people?
You got to get someone else in there, right?
Yeah, or do it yourself. We've got company like auctioneers and who like they've been in the like we were talking. I was getting taught. We had an auction seminar today, and the dude had been in it since 2000.
Wow.
So it's 21 years in the game. Like, you're dealing with professionals.
Yeah. Like people that know.
Yeah, I mean, you can go build your own house, but like, yeah, it's just if you want to deal with professionals and get the job done right.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, like you're saying, you know, dealing with professionals, you obviously, you know, you guys know the process of, you know, how to sell a home and stuff like that. Whereas someone who, you know, hasn't had that experience or knowledge, they can possibly find themselves in hot water.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
What's the commission like for those guys that, you know, do the, you know, the auction and stuff like that?
They get paid on a salary, I think.
Okay.
So it's pretty good. But, With Harcourts, you can actually be an auctioneer and be a salesperson at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, so a lot of people in the industry, they might just be salespeople, but they've got their auctioneer title as well, just in case if they want to head into that
and do
that on the side.
Yeah.
But at Barfoot, you can't do that.
Okay.
Like, you've got people that do the auctioneers full-time. Mm. Yeah. There's a lot of interesting differences between, like, have you ever seen an auction?
No. I mean I've seen it on TV.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Like, you know, but not live.
Yeah.
Well, talk to me.
At Harcourts, the auctioneers will bid on behalf of the vendor.
The auctioneers.
So like it's kind of like a phantom bid. Like if the auction's not starting,
I've heard of that.
The auctioneer will go
like, oh, this person over here, right?
Yeah, he'll point at the wall and be like, yeah, it's like 1.1 over there.
Yeah.
And then it's like, have I got any other interests? Like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty interesting the differences. Like Barfoot doesn't do that at all. Yeah. They'll say like all of our bids are real bids, like trying to say that other companies. Yeah. But
do you think that's a little bit cheeky?
Yeah, man, it's something that both sides talk about a lot.
Yeah,
like when you is that
a right or wrong thing to do? You know,
it's under the best practice guide.
Okay,
for real estate.
Uh-huh.
Back in I think it was 10 years ago or something like that. The dude was talking about today. There was a big action case over it, like legal case,
because
the auctioneer like bid about 10 times. And got the price up through the roof.
What?
And
then someone actually put their hand up.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he just kept bidding against the person. And they were just like, yeah. So the buyer took them to court, the company to court. And then he was just like, oh, yeah, this is ridiculous because I wanted to buy it for this. And then he threw it, like pushed it through the roof.
But
obviously at the end of the day, like the vendors won't sell it for what they don't want to sell it for.
And that, yeah, exactly. That's the truth.
So if they tell the auctioneer that they want this high price, then it is what it is.
Like, there's some tricky stuff, eh, bro?
Yeah, man. Like, and the thing is, like people forget pretty easily, like we don't get paid until we sell.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, we can go through a whole auction campaign and not sell the house.
Yeah, whole promotional campaign.
We don't get paid at all.
Mm.
So it's in our best interest to get you the best price possible and make the two sides meet, you know.
I think I got a couple more questions for you, bro. The first one is how cutthroat is the business?
It's cutthroat, man.
Talk to me about that. What are some examples of you know what you've experienced in your short career?
Oh, just like cheeky stuff, eh? It's like people will go behind your back, and apparently it's like cutthroat as over the bridge. Like people, like we have to print off like our appraisals, obviously, to go to people's houses.
Mm-hmm.
And other agents will look over the printer and see what the address is.
Really?
And they'll go and like, and they'll go and try and steal the business.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That sounds so petty, bro.
That's cutthroat, man. Like at the end of the day, you want to get paid. Like,
wow.
How many, like what's your limits? Like,
yeah.
My old manager, she said that one time, she had a colleague and, my manager, I think she'd talked to someone, I don't know, someone about the address, and she was going to go sign it up and stuff like that. And then her workmate one day came back through the front doors and she was in the office and she said to her, oh, you know the address, yada, yada, yada. You don't have to worry about that anymore. I just signed it up for you. And she was just like, oh, what do you mean you signed it up for me? You mean like, so like they're with me now? Like, and she was like, nah, I mean, I signed them up. And she was just like, and like she talked to her, she talked to the people and they were like, oh, we thought we'd signed with you. Like that's what she told us.
No, and that's illegal then, right?
Nah.
Could she not take them to court? Could that, you know, agent not take that other agent to court?
Nah, I don't think so. Wow. Yeah, man, there's very few rules. Like there's very, wow. like it's pretty.
It's like, almost like first in, first serve, bro.
Yeah, real estate, like. So when I left my old company, like with most jobs, you'll have to give like a 2-week notice or whatever. Mm. And then you leave. Well, that day I told my boss and I was at the new job the next day. Like that's the way it works in real estate. Like it's cutthroat, man. Like,
wow. If it's like, if you want to go, you want to go.
Yeah. And because obviously like if I was going to stay, then they'd just be I'd be looking in the database and seeing like all the, they'd know I'd be trying to take that over to the new job and stuff like that.
Okay.
But,
should have done that before, bro.
Yeah, man. That's just a couple. No, that's just a couple stories. But, some pretty ruthless stories.
Man. And I think another thing I probably want to ask is, you know, what are some successful stories you've had, you know, in your short time? I mean, you've mentioned you've had 7 sales, I think you said something else.
3 buyers.
That's where you show a buyer.
Those are some of the most fulfilling ones, eh? Like working with buyers and getting them to their first home.
So that means like you obviously have not a vendor, but you have a... someone who's wanting to buy a house.
So bring a buyer through another listing.
Okay.
One of the that's a pretty funny one. I had a buyer, and so how you know a buyer is loyal? Because when you get into the industry, you'll find out that working with buyers is hard because, like, they'll say that they're loyal, and then one day they'll just be taking a stroll past a listing and see it, think that they like it, go in, buy it, and then you lose all commission.
Mm.
Like after working with them for like months.
Got you.
But how you know a buyer is loyal is they'll send you listings from other companies. And so I was working with a buyer and they sent me a listing from Ray White. And then, so I took them to the sign of conjunctional and then they ended up winning against like 10 other couples in the room.
Wow.
And it was pretty cool. Like, cause it was like it was in the Ray White office.
Okay.
And they were like from Barfoot and Thompson. Okay. And they knew they were from there cause they had like our badges and stuff like that. And it was like, yo, like Barfoot Thompson represent. another one was like, but yeah, working with buyers is pretty fulfilling cause like you're helping them into their first home.
Mm.
Like that's like obviously a massive milestone for anyone.
Yeah.
Like especially like when we get to that, obviously it'll be a huge achievement for us as well. Mm. Cause you don't have, no. Nah.
What's that?
You're not planning on buying your first home anytime soon.
Not anytime soon. No. Yeah. Yeah. Still saving, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But yeah, just, yeah. Cause obviously people have been saving up, like, especially with how the prices are, like people are saving up for so long.
Yeah.
To find, yeah. And when you're able to help them, across the line like that, it's just real cool.
Yeah.
Another one was I helped these buyers make I'd been helping them for 6 months. So long. Like they were and when you're working with buyers that are in the, when you know there's a commission at the end of the rainbow, like you're just like, yeah man, I'll keep working. Like as I said, you don't get commission to you make a sale. But they couldn't find anything on the market. So I went into the list of withdrawals from Barfoot & Thompson. And with Barfoot & Thompson, they leave the like numbers on there for vendors.
Okay.
So you can contact them after the listing's gone withdrawn.
Yeah.
After someone else has failed on it. So I called the vendors and set it up and ended up making like within 5 days a 1.7 mil sale like solo. That was my first solo sale. So it was like that was a pretty decent commission. Yeah.
Good on you, man.
But that was a good one. Besides that,
so there's a few that you've had, and obviously you walk away feeling not over the moon, but man, on top of the world, since, eh, bro?
As when I think about like how long I've been in the industry for, just like six months, and then I think about like someone that's leading my team right now, it's just crazy, like imagining how many times he's done the same thing over and over again, like working with different, like he just knows, like it's crazy sitting in a listing meeting with him, because you just watch it on the owner's faces, and he knows exactly what to say in order to win them over and get the listing, because he's done it so many times.
Get them to sign the dotted line, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's got like, he's rough script, but at the same time, he's goes for about 2 hours, like going over all their concerns, like what's their reason for selling, like building that connection at the same time as, getting their business.
It's vital way, bro.
That connection's like, if you can't build like a connection with someone, if you can't like read people, if you don't have personable characteristics, like you won't really do well. But yeah, obviously like people like you, you're like, that's you and, you know Ethan Shumkul?
Yeah.
Like people like him. That's like.
Is he one of your boys?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh shucks.
We go like way back. We're like that.
Oh wow.
But yeah, man. I just went and watched one of his league games on the
weekend. He's playing fullback. Oscar Tigers.
Yeah, he got player of the game.
Yeah. Shout out to him, bro. Yeah, shout out to Ethan Berg. Yeah, he's the man.
But like people like him, people like you.
Yeah.
Like you go ask anyone else about you, like. They've only got good things to say about you.
Oh, thanks.
Like,
yeah, bro.
But just because of like, you're good at.
Yeah. It's just a vibe, bro.
You can just feel it off people. Like they're good people.
Yeah.
And that's why I think, because other people you go talk to and they say, oh, you've talked to this agent, but like, as I said, you're being treated as like a number or they just don't have a warm personality. And yeah, it's just, that's what it is at the end of the day. If you can't build a connection, you'll lose it.
Mean. Bro, I think, Two more actually. I said two more before, but I'm going to say two more now. But talk to me about the commission, because I think a lot of people do want to know about what the commissions are like in real estate and stuff that. You know, whether or not they're looking to sell a home, buy a home, what is it? You know, if they're wanting to be a real estate agent, salesperson, what type of commission are we talking about?
Yeah, obviously it varies from house to house because it's price to price. But I think it's two. So Barfoot does, won't really calculate with. I can say percents like that, what we take out of the overall sale price. But okay, so it's like 2.5% on the first 300,000.
Okay.
And then I think it's like so it's 3.95% on the first 300,000. And then it's a flat rate of 2% for
after
that.
Right. Yeah. So all up, you're looking at around 5%.
No, it doesn't calculate that way. Like you calculate 3.95% on the first 300,000, and then you take the rest of the 2%. Amount, and then you take 2%.
Yeah, so say we got like $1 million home.
Yeah,
the first 300,000 will be 3.95, like you said, and then the remainder 700,000 will be 2%.
Yeah, exactly.
I got you.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, and it obviously varies and. As you mentioned, because you have to split that amongst your branch. Obviously, the first 6 months you're splitting it with someone else that you're working with, maybe. Or
it doesn't come out as much as you think.
Let's talk about how much were you making, when you're first in the industry.
Yeah.
Say $1 million home. How much are you taking home?
Yeah, because also the other thing take into account is that when you first start, you start on 50% cut with the branch, and if that's solo. So you're taking, if you're selling with someone else, that's 50% out of that total commission to the branch.
Yep.
And then you're splitting a further 50% with your co-listing agent. Okay. So, but then it works up. If you make $150,000 gross commission, then you get up to 80%.
Okay.
So.
I don't know too much about that, but yeah. Okay.
So like 80% cut with the branch.
Yeah.
Basically, if you make a ton of sales, you up your percentage with the branch.
It's kind of like leverage, right?
Because
they know that you're going to bring in more.
Exactly. So right before I left, my branch manager told me that I was up to 60% after being on 50%. So I was going up and up and up, but I was like, nah, it doesn't matter. Like money comes and goes. Like I'd rather learn everything I can right now, like faster. And then I'll be making the ton, like big commissions at the
Long term.
Long term play. But then, what were you talking about? Commissions.
Commissions. Yeah. We're talking about like how much you take home.
Yeah.
If a property was $1 million.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're talking about, How much of that do you actually get as a whole?
If you sell it, if you buy and if you list and sell, you end up making it around 10, I think.
10K?
Yeah.
You yourself, and you take that home.
Yeah.
After tax or before?
Before.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And then you got to pay tax.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I don't know how much you left after that, but yeah. But I mean, for a month's work, if you're able to sell a house in a month, that's not bad.
That's the catch, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you got to sell.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many, like, there's a lot of people that go for, as my, like, my family knew about that one kid that only sold one his whole year. That is in the industry. So I mean, like, 10K for the whole year is like,
yeah.
But yeah, I was doing enough to do pretty well, like, especially with that last commission on a 1.7 mil sale, like solo.
That was
pretty decent.
Wow.
Yeah, bro.
Big ups.
Big ups to you, man.
Straight up, man.
You gotta be able to sell, man.
Okay. I guess rounding it off, man. Why should people get into real estate? If someone's interested in it, what do you have to say to them?
I think you got to be a certain type of person to begin with if you like are really going to succeed in real estate. So even for a self-motivated person, it's pretty easy to get caught up with your wins. Like, obviously with fighting as well, like if you win a fight, like it makes you more relaxed sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to keep like pushing to get those new listings and stuff like that. Do those door knocks, do those cold calls, even when you're making wins and getting new listings.
Yeah, you got to keep going.
Yeah, because there's a rule in real estate that the people that you get in contact with now, the leads that you get in contact with now, they'll be the people selling. So the work that you do now in this 3 months translates into the next 9 months.
Okay.
So if you do 3 months of work and then after that 3 months of work you get business, but then you lax off, then the next 9 months will be like terrible and you'll go dry. But yeah, so basically like the type of person you got to be is you will be like self-motivated, like self-driven and stuff like that, competitive, being able to take like loss after loss. Because people will say no to your face and sometimes pretty ruthlessly, like especially when you're door knocking.
Yeah.
They like slam the door in your face. Like I had this older dude the other day.
Yeah.
He said to me, I door knocked him. I told him about the sale down the road. And he said, I won't swear on this, but he said, cut the BS. I don't need you coming in my house and telling me about other sales on the road.
Yeah.
Being like something. He said that he was trying to sell his house, but he was talking with another agent.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of like, whoa, it's kind of weird. Like you turn me down that fast, like when you're actually trying to sell. But yeah, it's just being able to take that loss off day after day. It can get you down pretty fast. Like if you're making 100 calls and 98 of them say, nah, we don't want your business, like and hang up the phone. So yeah, if you're personable, like if you can talk to people pretty easily and have that warm connection with people, and then if you're kind of like an outgoing person, or you don't have to be outgoing, because I'm semi introverted, like
okay,
but when it comes to door knocking and stuff like that, I'll make my like obviously you put on the smile.
It's like practice makes perfect.
So yeah, if you've got all the those characteristics and like. Real estate sounds like something that works for you, then yeah, get into it. Because you can't, there's like a pathway to make a lot of money, but you gotta obviously do the work, be able to take the rejection, and have good connection with people.
My man, cool man. Hey man, appreciate you coming on the show, bro. Where can people contact you?
My name is all over the thing, eh? Because when you go on the internet, like you can't, like my name comes up straight away if you type it in. Like people will go search like into all your background when they're gonna deal with you, obviously.
Yes.
Because like they wanna know
that they wanna know
dealing someone that's legit, not dodgy.
Yeah.
So like my name is like you search in my name and everything comes up basically.
So Trade Triple South.
Yeah.
You got an Instagram handle, anything?
It's the same. Trade Triple South. Trade Triple South. Yeah.
Anything with real estate agent? Trade Triple South, real estate.
No. I kept it vague because I want to be more than that. I was thinking about actually doing like kind of my own podcast because I was doing podcast work before with Tux, and we interviewed Dan Hooker and David Tour and stuff like that. So wow. Yeah, no, I was thinking about going and interviewing David Tour again, like solo, and like some other people that my dad knows, because he knows him from back in the day when he was fighting.
Mm.
And yeah, man, it's pretty crazy, my dad's stories. Eh?
Yeah, man.
Like,
I've heard, bro.
Yeah,
I've heard.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That guy, he will like take, he'd do 10-kilometer runs after he'd won a fight. Like, that's the kind of drive like that you need to be able to succeed in. Like,
bro, your dad's crazy, bro.
Yeah, man.
I see him at the gym, man.
Yeah.
Bro, he's still got it. Still got it.
Don't tell him that. You're trying to hop in the ring again.
Ah, too easy, bro. Appreciate you jumping on, eh?
Yeah, cool, man.
Oh, man, all right.
Good to be here.
Yeah, bro. I'm eating comfortably, they never had